Verse 1. Now when Jacob saw there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, "Why do you look one upon another?" And he said, "Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down there and buy for us from there, that we may live and not die." And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob, sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine of the land was in Canaan. And Joseph was a governor over all the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them. He made himself strange to them and spake roughly to them. And he said to them, "Whence come ye?" And they said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said to them, "You are spies. To seek the nakedness of the land are you come?" And they said to him, "Nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons. We are true men. Thy servants are not spies." And he said to them, "Nay, but you seek the nakedness of the land, that you are come." And they said, "The servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not." And Joseph said to them, "That it is that I spoke to you, saying, 'You are spies.' Hereby you will be proved. By the life of Pharaoh you shall not go forth henceforth, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and you shall be kept, and you shall be kept in provision, that your words may be proved." Prison. "Whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies." And he put them all together in ward 3 days. And Joseph said to them, "The third day this do and live, for I fear God. If you be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses, but bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and you shall not die." And they did so. And they said one to another, "We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us." And Reuben answered them, saying, "Spoke I not to you, saying, 'Do not sin against the child?' And you would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required." And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spoke unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them, and wept, and returned to them again, and communed with them, and took from them Simeon, and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn, and to restore every man's money to his sack, and to give them provision for the way. And thus he did unto them. And they laden their asses with the corn and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money, for behold, it was in his mouth. And he said unto his brethren, "My money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack." And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, "What is this that God has done to us?" And they came to Jacob their father into the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell them, saying, "The man who is the Lord of the land spoke roughly to us and took us for spies of the country. And we said to him, 'We are true men, we are not spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan.' And the man of the Lord of the country said to us, 'Hereby shall I know that you are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your household, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother to me, and then shall I know that you are not spies, but you are true men. So will I deliver you your brother, and you shall traffic in the land.' And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said to them, 'Me have you bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and you will take Benjamin away? All these things are against me.' And Reuben spoke unto his father, saying, 'Slay my two sons, if I bring him not to you. Deliver him to my hand, and I will bring him again to you.' He said, "My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone in mischief. If mischief befall him in the way in which you go, then shall you bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave." That's a lot of words, but let's break it down and see what it has to do with our life today, okay? This is not a history chapter. This is about your life today and experiences that you experience in life. Who is Jacob? It's us. Now, Jacob is in a progression. He started someplace, but he has changed tremendously. Okay? So hang on and you'll see changes in his life, just like you see in your life, as we spoke this morning. It's a progression we walk through. We all make the mistakes. Okay? Now, when Jacob saw that there was corn in the land, first of all, there's no corn in the land. In this culture, there was nothing but wheat then. We didn't have corn. So you can eliminate corn, okay? It's the grain. And it's parabolic language to start with. So what's he talking about? There was no corn in Egypt. There was corn in Egypt. So he saw that there was a word someplace else. He had to go get it, didn't he? So he's going after the food, the spiritual food. And Jacob said to his sons, "Why do you look one upon another?" And he said, "Behold, I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Get you down there and buy for us from thence that we may live and not die." Well, you know, food was only going to sustain you for a period of time. But the word of God is life, eternal, alive forevermore. And look what happened. Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy the what? How many brethren? What's the number 10? The law. See, they're going for the wrong attitude. They're not going for the life of the ages, but they're going for legalism. What to do and what not to do. Rather than the love, they are going after legalism. And that's where the majority of the church world set is today. It's not after the love of God. It's after rules and regulations. And they say, "Hey, I prayed today. That makes me all right. Although I lusted after someone else's wife, and I cheated some guy in business today, and the waitress that waited on me at the restaurant, she gave me the wrong change, give me an extra 20. Ha ha, I made out, didn't I? But I'm a good Christian." See? Something's wrong with that pattern, isn't there? See? The reality of this, just like this little picture over on the wall says, character is who you are when no one is watching but God. See? God is watching me constantly. So what right do I have to think I'm pulling the wool over anybody's eyes? I'm only committing self-suicide. I'm messing myself up. I'm deceiving myself. See, because I can't deceive anybody in this room or anybody on the face of the earth. Deception comes from within you. If you have deception in you, you're deceived. But I can't deceive you. The Bible says it comes from within, not from without. So you get deceived from what's in you. But they went down to buy the corn, but Benjamin, brother Joseph, Jacob sent not with his brethren. So he held back Benjamin. Benjamin was a true son, wasn't he? He was a full-blooded son of Joseph. Because he said, lest what? Mischief or hurt befall him. He said, "I don't want to lose him. He's my special one. He's my last one." He's still working in fear. And how many of us are still in fear about things with God? See, this isn't condemnation. This is just a revealing of things. If I have not got something revealed in my life, how could I ever deal with it? If I have fear in my life and it's never revealed, would I ever get rid of it? Someone's got to come along and step on my toes, kick me in the shins, break my leg if you have to, get my attention to let me know that I'm doing something wrong. And people get offended if someone reveals that to you. But you know, I've had people that the church world would call heathen come to me and express something to me that I knew, I thought I was right in. But when this person came to me, they revealed something in me, and it wasn't very pretty. And I walked away, and when I got away, God said, "What's the matter?" Got you, didn't he? So I had to go back and apologize for being that ignorant person. See? But, you know, was I mad at the person because they revealed it? You shouldn't be. You should hug that person and say, "Thank you. You just helped me get my life straight." See, most people get offended if someone helps you out. Proverbs says that a righteous man would love rebuke and correction. See? But if you correct the heathen, he'll hate you. Leave him alone. Only ones God wants. Okay. Now look right here what happens. And the sons of who in verse 5? Now look how God is telling you what he thinks about him. See, Jacob is the way the world sees him. Israel's the way God sees him. God sees a finished work in the man. He knows the end from the beginning, doesn't he? See, he says, he didn't call him Jacob, he calls him Israel. Now, Israel came to buy corn among those that came because the famine was in the land of what? The famine for the word is only in one place. It's in Canaan. What does Canaan represent? It's a low land. It's flesh. The lower realm. In the dust and the sand covenant, what do we got? A famine for the word of God, because the word of God is only in the heavenlies, in the star covenant, in the tabernacles. Okay? So that's why there's a famine in the lowland. It's only in the flesh. As long as I stay in the flesh, I can't get the word of God because it's spiritual. Spiritual is only received by spirit. Natural man receives nothing, does he? So we have to become spiritual, or understand we already were spiritual. We have to remember that. And Joseph was governor. Let's say it a different way. And Christ was the ruler over the land. And you know what that land is? You and I. That's you and I. He rules this land. We were made from the land, weren't we? He rules all this land. He bought it all. Not just the cattle on the thousand hills. And it was he who sold to all the people land, or deals the grain. Literally that word, if you look the word up there where it says buy or sell or sold, it says he deals the grain. Who is it that brings the word to you? It's the Christ. And the Christ is the only one that can bring the word to you. I cannot bring the word to you. And see, I didn't just mean me particular, it means you. Nobody can bring, out of the flesh, we cannot bring the word of God to anybody. That's the problem with the church realm. They think they got something, they got carnality. They've never been to the heavenlies to bring back that covenant to us. See? And the only way you can do it is Christ has to come down to you. And when he comes to you, you don't have any problem ascending, because now you become one with him. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Who do you think they were bowing to? No, they were, but did they know it? That's the picture of the natural man, the natural religious system of man. They come and bow to a man, a altar, or an idol of some sort. They don't come and bow to the Christ, because you don't have to come in here to bow to Christ. You bow to Christ within yourself. This is an internal work. It has nothing to do with all this external show that they put on. It's all about what's going on inside of you. If God hasn't got your heart, he ain't got you. And until you submit yourself to him, you're not going to submit to anything else. It's got to be him first. He's a jealous God, isn't he? He won't let anybody else be before him. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange to them, or literally he disguised himself, and spoke roughly to them, and said to them, "Where'd you come from?" And they said, "From the land of Canaan, to deal grain for food, to deal for some grain for food." Do you think he didn't know what they wanted? There was a famine in the land, and he had all the grain in all the country, and you don't think he knew what they were there for? I saw something in Joseph's life in this. And Joseph is Christ, and that's the first fruits. That's the sons of God that's on the earth today. You know, sometimes people say we get a lot of discipline. Is that true? We get a lot of discipline in our lives. We must be disciplined. But God has a sense of humor. God just let Joseph do something here. He could have said right off the bat, "Hey, boys, I'm your long-lost brother." He could have ended it right there. But God let him have a little satisfaction in the natural. He got to play with him a little bit, didn't he? Did he get his revenge? Yes, he did. But not in a way to hurt anybody, did he? He did it in a very tasteful way, but he did get a little satisfaction from playing with them. You're spies. Did he not? God permitted this thing to say, you know, I'm going to let you have a little sense of humor. I'm going to let you have a little fun, but you're not going to hurt anybody. And you're not going to hurt anybody. I'll let you live a little satisfaction. Let them know who you are in the right time. Oh, they were tormented. As you can see here, about 20 to 21, it comes up. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said to them, "You're spies. You've come to do what? to see the nakedness, or literally the language says it's the undefended parts of the land, so that's what you come to spy us out, to overtake us. Do you think God made him say that? I think he let him have a little bit of leeway, because he wasn't in total perfection as a man either, was he? As a man, as a type of Christ, he was perfect as Christ, but as a man, there's still something there. And they said to him, "No, my Lord, but to buy or to deal for the grain for food are your servants come. We are one man's son, and we are true men." Literally, it says honest men. We're honest men. We didn't come to do anything bad. We're honest. And you know how the world is. I'm a good guy. I wouldn't tell a lie. You know, we know that one, don't we? That's what people say. But see, you can't take words for everything, can you? You got to get the lifestyle to go with it. The actions speak much louder than the word. And it says, "And we're servants and not spies." And he said to them, "No, but you to see the nakedness or the undefended parts of the land are you come?" And they said, "Your servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man, in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not." What does that say in parabolic form? Today, this youngest son is with his father. We're in the spirit. How could we be anything but one with our father? Huh? Even though we're walking in this earth, where are we at? We are at one with our father. We're with him. They're telling us this far ahead of him. Thousands of years it was written to tell us, hey, you've always been with me. Have you ever been separated from me? No, only in your thinking process. You have forgotten your identity. You didn't know that I loved you from the very beginning. Because when he created us in Genesis 1:31, when he finished everything, he said, "It's very good. Very good." And God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you really think he changed his mind? I don't think so. So I know that he loves us. I don't have to forget that. I know it. No one had to tell me that, because I heard it in my own heart. And one is not. Now that's their opinion. Okay? They think one of them's done. And Joseph said to them, "That is it that I spoke to you, saying you're spies." Here he's starting to have some fun with them. This is a little payback to them. He's making them nervous. You're standing before a man who has the authority to say, "Cut his head off and he's dead." Just like that. And you're trying to convince him you're an honest man. You wouldn't lie and you didn't come to cheat him out of anything. And if he says, "I don't believe your words, I think you're a spy," on multiple occasions, don't you know how tight them boys were? They had to be tightened up, didn't they? So, you know, we can plead all we want in the natural. We can plead with God. Oh, hey, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm a good guy, believe me. I mean, I've never done anything wrong in my life. I've heard that story a whole bunch of times. You know what? God don't buy it. Neither do we. We're only deceiving ourselves. I've got this little saying that I use in my office. I got it up in my office. It says, we lie the loudest when we lie to ourselves. And there's kind of an honor that goes with lying. When you lie to someone, you're saying, "You're superior to me, and I'm lying to try to get up to your level." Saying, "I'm not where you're at," if you have to lie to them. Okay? You can think about that one. In verse 15, he goes on and says, "By this you will be tested. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not go forth from here, except your younger brother comes here." Okay? He said, "I'm going to put a test on you." All he was wanting to do was bring them all to do what? He wanted to reconcile them. Isn't that God's purpose? To bring everybody into one, to him. See? Not to put everybody in one building, but everybody have the same thinking process, the mind of Christ, which is no more than the heart of the Father. Okay? So that's what he's doing right here. He's working on the reconciliation. Because he knows if all the sons come to Christ, where's that father going to be? Where's the rest of the tribe going to be? Where's the rest of the nation going to be? It's just a starting process. So he picks up the first fruit first. Then he'll get the rest of them. But he will get them all. He said, "Send one of you and let him fetch your brother, and you shall be kept in prison, that your words may be tested, whether there be any truth in you or not. By the life of Pharaoh, surely you're spies." So he didn't let up on them yet. He's poking them a little bit more, saying, "Ah, you're still spies. I'll test you, but I know you're a spy." And he put them all together in prison for 3 days. My golly, what would them 3 days represent? I wonder what 3 days represent. Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles, dust, sand, stars. So he said, for 3 days you're going to be in there. How many days was Jonah in the whale's belly? How many days was the Son of God in the bowels of the earth? He's going to be in yours 3 days before he comes out. If you think you can get it before you get to the third covenant, to the third day, to the heavenly covenant of the stars, you're kidding yourself. And I know all them other churches think they were. When I was in that realm, I thought I was. So don't go out and cut Mama's head off. Don't throw her from the train. Leave her alone. Let them do. God's got it in there. If God didn't want them things to be here, they wouldn't be here. Leave them alone. So we all have to realize there's an experience going on here. Everybody gets those 3 days in prison. Every one of us, we're in the flesh for 3 days. And it says in Joel, he said, in the third day, he will lift us up. It didn't say he might. He said he will. So guess what I got to look forward to? An elevation. That's all. Not a descending, but an ascending. Because he said he will lift me up in the third day. And Joseph said to them the third day. Whoa, when did he start talking to them? When are you going to hear God's voice? In your dust and sand covenant? You're not going to hear him until you come to the star covenant. You're going to talk to him in spirit because he is spirit. And until you come to the spiritual understanding in your life, how do you really think you're going to get there? How are you going to communicate with God who is spirit? He seeks you to worship him how? Spirit and truth. The truth of the spirit. You can't worship in spirit of the truth if you're not there. And there's only one way to get it. Third day. Tabernacles. Star covenant. However you want to say it. That's what he's talking about. He said, this do and live, because I fear God, or I reverence, or I revere, not Yahweh, but I revere the Elohim. I revere the body of Christ, the many-membered body, because the word of Elohim is a plural. It's the many. He said, I revere the body of Christ. And he's telling him in the third day. What do you think he's telling him in the third day? This is it. You're part of the body now. That's the revelation. When I find out I'm a son, see, as long as I think I'm a dog walking around, hiking on a tree and barking at parked cars, that's what I'm going to do. But when I find out that I'm a son of God, guess what I'm going to do, Mike? I'm going to act like a son of God. And if I don't know what a son of God is, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to search the Word of God until I find out what it is. Because he puts the hunger and the thirst in your heart. He said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for, he will fill you. And see, he puts a desire in your heart to go after him. So when he speaks to you and tells you you're a son, you're on your journey now. See? Now don't think it's going to be a cakewalk, because it's exactly opposite of what the natural mind will tell you. Oh, I have arrived. Uh-uh, honey, you just started your journey. And it's a long, hard journey. But every step of the way, when you look back, you'll thank God for every step you went through. But when you're going through it, you won't think that. It's a discipline of the Father, and he chastises or disciplines those he loves. See? It's not out of anger, and that's why the world's correction is so wrong. They discipline you to punish you, and see, discipline is an act of love. It's not a correction of anger, like most people do it. They just tear out the trash. That's what they're meant to do, so let them do what they're supposed to do. That's it. He said, if you're honest men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house for your prison, and you carry grain for food for the famine in your houses. Now look what he said. If you're honest men, let one of them stay in prison. Who's in prison? Huh? Well, the ones who think they are. But no, see, one of them's going to be sacrificed. Who do you think it is? It's the Christ in you that's going to be sacrificed. Look here. How many brethren went there? Tell me. How many stayed? What is that? 1 out of 10. What is it? It's a tithe. Hello, first fruit. That's the first fruit. A tithe is the first fruit. He said, leave a tithe here in prison. You know why? Because that's the provision for everybody. Didn't he die for everybody? Come on, you got to see the picture of the whole thing. This is the provision that God gave us. He left one in prison. Here's the prison. The prison is here. And we got to have that one in the prison to make the provision for everybody else. Come on. I'm going to get excited here in a minute. But you bring your youngest brother to me, so your words be verified, so shall your words be verified, and you shall not die. And they did so. So they were obedient, but they did hear Christ on the third day. Then they become obedient. And they said one to another, we are truly guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he implored us, and we would not hear, Shama, we would not hear intelligently with the intent to respond to him. Therefore is this distress come upon us. See, even though they heard God speak in the third day, they still had things to deal with in their life, like condemnation and guilt. They had not realized that God had purposed what they did. He was the provision. He was the one that was thrown into prison, wasn't he? All he was doing was the same pattern that they did to him. They took one son and put him in the pit, put him in prison. Isn't that what Joseph just did to them? He took one of them and put him into prison. Same thing, same pattern, come on. So he said, only thing we're worried about is a tithe. And what did God say he was looking for in the earth? A tithe, a 10%, a first fruit, not a literal number 10, but a group of first fruit people that hear him and produce the same fruit that he is, because seed produces like kind. If the seed of God is within you, what can you produce? Sons of God. See, all I can produce out of me is sons of God because the seed of God is in me. And it's the same with you. I can't produce anything else. I don't want to produce anything else. There's enough flesh running around, but I want sons produced. Why do you think Paul said, I beget you in the Word of God? By the Word of God, Paul birthed people into the kingdom of God. It was the Spirit of God in Paul, not Paul the man. It was the Christ in him. And see, the Christ in you, when he comes alive, that's what his thing is, to replenish the earth, to fill the earth with his glory, to bring forth sons, many sons. That's the point. So we got to get this in our mind and understand this is a done deal. I just got to walk out what Father's already done in me. And the key is what? John 14:26. I'm going to go away. I'm going to send you another, the Holy Spirit, who is going to do what? Call all things to your remembrance. Okay. We can't teach today. What can we do? We can help you remember what God has spoke to you before the foundation of the world. That's the key. Hearing. That's why in the book of Revelation it says, blessed is he that has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. If you can hear what the Spirit's saying, it don't make any difference what anybody else says, does it? When I hear his voice, I will not follow another voice. When you hear his voice, you will not follow another voice. You will stay with him. He's your man. And Reuben responded to them, saying, spoke I not to you, saying, do not sin against the child, and you would not hear intelligently with the intent to respond? Therefore, behold, also, his blood is required of us. Why did they think that way? Even though they heard Christ speak to them, why did they think that way? They were still in guilt and condemnation. But remember this. He did play a little bit with them in the natural. But remember this. Every time that the Word of God came forth, there was two things heard. Every time God spoke to his people, something was heard. What was it? Thunder. See, they heard thunder. They didn't hear God speak, did they? Not intelligently. They heard thunder. They heard a rough-speaking man threatening them. Do you really think it was in his heart? He was the Christ. He spoke truth, but they didn't understand. So it's just a problem. It's just a setup is all it was. No. They heard correction as a bad thing. And they knew not that Joseph understood them because he spoke to them by an interpreter. And see, there's a problem today. Most church folk are listening to God through an interpreter. One stands behind one of these things. My sheep hear my voice. He didn't say my shepherds hear my voice. He said my sheep hear my voice. And everybody's speaking to God through an interpreter. Preacher, what did God mean when he showed me this? You know what I tell them? Ask God. He's the one who told you about it. I'm not an interpreter of dreams. If God wants me to, I will. And if he wants it, he'll tell me about it. But see, everybody, if God speaks to them, the first thing they want to do is run to some religious person and say, what did God mean? Well, won't you find out? See, I'm not supposed to be everybody's keeper. I'm supposed to take care of myself. And the Christ in you will take care of you. You got a shepherd, won't he? Didn't he say that Christ was the head of all humanity? Then you got a covering. You got somebody to take care of you. I'm just helping you. Come on. I'm not here to be your God. I'm your brother, right? And he turned himself about from them and wept and returned to them again and spoke with them and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. Yep. See, he talked to them and then he took Simeon. What's Simeon mean? Hearing. He took their hearing back. He just told them what to do and then they couldn't hear him no more. Now they're back in the natural real quick. And you know, that's a tragic thing that happens to sons of God. We hear God and immediately we want to run back to some non-spiritual Passover or Pentecostal experienced person to tell me what God just said. Something's wrong with that picture, isn't there? If God spoke to me and I heard him, then the only thing I'm going to be desiring now is to hear that again. That's all I want to hear is hear him. If I hear his voice, nothing else matters. Did that take care of it? And he took their hearing, and Joseph commanded, and who is Joseph? He's the Christ. Joseph commanded to fill their sacks or their what? Their vessels. This is a vessel. Come on, this is a vessel. He filled their vessel with what? Grain, the word of God. And to restore every man's what? You know what that money is? The word is kesef in the Hebrew. It means silver. What does silver represent? Redemption. He said, so give every man his redemption. You know what this message is? The reconciliation of all. I can show you that 10 also represents all of humanity in its context. So guess what? He was reconciling all of humanity right there. The only one that can do it is who? The Christ. And he took it and gave it to the first fruit. How many bags did he stick the money in first that found it? One found it first. Wonder who that might be. Huh? He put it in every bag. All 10 of them, all of humanity's got Christ within them, but only one of them found it. I wonder who that might be. It's one tenth. It's a tithe. It's the first fruit. See? So only one of them found it. And isn't it amazing? On the journey, immediately the one found it, and the others didn't even bother looking until they got home. Something tells me they wasn't in control of it. I think they were set up. What do you think? Oh, Father's got a great plan. But he told them that to restore every man's redemption into his vessel and to give them what? Provision or food for their journey on the road. And thus he did for them. So he took care of our provision for us. So why am I struggling so hard to try to overcome the world in the financial situation? Well, I don't have to struggle with anything because he's already made provision. His word does not lie. He made provision for it. Come on. Do you believe it or not? I didn't say go quit your job. I just said go ahead and do what you got to do. And when you go to sleep tonight, don't worry about how I'm going to pay that bill tomorrow. If you have faith in God's word, it will be taken care of whether you know how it is or not. It's not important how it's taken care of. All you know is I'm taken care of. My Father is my provision. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Guess what? Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your path. Don't worry about it. Worry's not of God. That's of the natural mind. And so after he did this, they laded their asses with the grain and departed there. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass the provender of food, in the end, right, or there it should be, he espied or saw his money, for behold, it was in the sack's mouth. Didn't he say, take no thought of what you'll say in that day, because in the very hour you need it, I will put the words in your mouth. Is that a coincidence? He put it in every sack. Every vessel has the Word of God in it. Why do you think the secular world, when they sing these rock and roll songs, I can hear God coming out of those songs. I can hear them out of country. I can hear them out of bluegrass. I can see them in a secular movie. I can see God crying out of those vessels, humanity begging for the manifestation of the Son of God. Please, somebody set me free from this prison. And the church world ain't got it. They don't have the key to unlock it. The only thing that's going to unlock it is the love of God. And see, everybody's missing that. See, they're missing it. They think by rules and regulations. Like right now, we had this big turmoil inside the county about the cruise fest with all the nudity and things going on. Animals do things like that. Leave them alone. See? But the church world's trying to legislate now who can come in this county and who can't. Church hasn't got no business in the world. Got no business in politics. I quit voting a long time ago when Paul said, when I read his writing and understood what he said, a good soldier of Christ does not entangle himself with the affairs of the world. I don't care what they do. All I care about is doing what Father wants me to do. If I can take care of myself, I've done a wonderful job. And if everybody else would leave everybody else alone and do what they're supposed to do, it'd be wonderful. And I don't care what the pastors think about me here or anywhere else, if they need to mind their own business. Because I ain't seen a badge pinned on any of their chests. God didn't make them sheriffs to take care of people. He told them, you feed my sheep. If you're a shepherd, feed my sheep. Leave everybody else. He didn't say whip them. He said feed them, didn't he? And they ain't fed nobody nothing yet but pablum, that artificial word. That's how they get it. Because they must have been playing around with a little word, found out something. And he said to his brethren, my redemption is what? Restored. Reconciliation. And lo. And see, it can't be restored unless it had been stored once before. Because RE means do it again. Do it again. So you can't do something again. It ain't been. So I had to have been stored with God once before, or I can't be restored. And see, the only way we have to have, reason we have to have it restored is because in our minds we forgot who we are. In James it talks about the man looks into a looking glass and beholds his natural face. Genesis face. And see, my Genesis face is not the Adamic face. My Genesis face is a God face. And when I realize that I started in God, I quit looking at that Adam man, then I'm going to know who I am. I'll know who I am. And once you know who you are, nobody can take that away from you. Nobody can take it. What verse was I in? I lost it. Huh? 28? He said, my brother, my redemption is restored, and lo, it's even in my vessel. And their heart failed, and they were afraid. You know what? That sounds like what happened when Joseph spoke to them and said, hey, God said, y'all going to bow down to me. And they were all offended, weren't they? Same thing. Right back to the same pattern. I don't care how you slice it. It's the same way. People don't want to hear the truth. I can go and sit and talk to people when I go have breakfast in the morning in a restaurant in town, and I've said just very simple things and got people up who are supposed to be, quote, good Christian people and cuss me out and leave. Because I said God loves everybody and there ain't no such thing as this place down in the earth called hell. Hell's between your ears. Oh, my God, there ain't no devil. No, there's a devil between your ears. See? But they don't want to deal with that. They like to deal with something external so they can blame somebody instead of taking responsibility and growing up. So that's what happens. They all get afraid. They all get offended, saying one to another, look what they said. What is this that Elohim is doing to us? What's this body of Christ doing to me? Well, it's none of your business because you're not your own. You were bought with a price. God can do what he wants, can't he? He don't have to ask your permission. I've never got a phone call from God saying, Dave, what would you like me to do today? And I don't ever look to hear one either. And if you don't look for one, you'll be better off. They think they have a right. If we are servants, literally the language says slaves, if we're the slave and he's the master, what right do I have to say anything to him except yes? I can't even say no, can I? Old Testament I could. New Testament, yes and amen. That's the only answer I can give God. Because he's totally in control. When I come to that understanding, my life comes to rest. Why would I wrestle if I'm not in control? I'm not looking for any accolades for how great I am because it's not about me. And I can't get any blame because I'm just doing what I'm told. I'm sitting in the middle in a perfect spot. It's all up to him. Don't get any credit. Don't get no blame. Wonderful place to be. Sure, it's absolutely fruitless to do anything other than just rest in him. Just rest in him. And they came to Jacob, their father, in the land of Canaan and told him all that befell them. They went back to their natural again. Going back to the natural. And that's the problem with most people. They run back to something out of their past instead of keep going forward. They go backwards. And I think the book says don't do that. I know the book says it. I'll say it better. And the man who is the Lord of the land spoke roughly to us or harshly and took us for spies. Wah, wah, wah. Bunch of babies grow up. Someone looks at me wrong. Wah! He looked at me wrong. And that's all the church world has is a bunch of babies. Okay? Still playing in the sandbox. They need to grow up. And we said to him, we're honest men. We're not spies. And we'd be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is dead. The youngest one is to stay with our father in the land of Canaan. And see, he's with their, see, the youngest son is with their father in the land of Canaan. The low land, the flesh land. See? He's here. He's in all of us, isn't he? And the man, the Lord of the country, said to us, by this shall I know that you're honest men. Leave one of your brethren here with me and take food for the famine of your households and be gone. I bet he didn't say it exactly that way, but they probably put a little twist on it, made it sound good. And bring your youngest brother to me, then shall I know that you are not spies, but honest men. So will I deliver you, your brother, and you shall traffic in the land. And it came to pass as they emptied their sacks, their vessels, that behold, every man's bundle of silver or redemption was in his vessel. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of the redemption, they were afraid. Guess what? Until they began to empty their vessels, they never knew what was within the vessel. Guess what God's doing? Didn't it say Jesus himself of all? Okay, that's what we got to do. We got to empty ourselves to find out what's inside the vessel, don't we? We got to get rid of all the dirt, all the cobwebs, all the junk before we find out what the true deposit Father left in us. And that's when they found out. You see, they had to wait till the end of the journey. How many of you want to wait till the end of the journey? How many of you want to wait till the end of the journey to find out what's in your sack? I don't. I want to know right now. Because see, you know how I know right now? Because I opened my sack up. And it wasn't my choice. I'm not saying I did anything. It was his timing. He chose me. He chose when to open my vessel. And he pulled the sack open and said, look at that nasty stuff you got in there. But look at that treasure laying down there. See? All we got to do is get all this stuff out of the way and look at the treasure that's in that vessel. He tore it, not me. And they were afraid. You know why they were afraid? Because they didn't know what was going on. Had they opened their sack at the other end when they started that journey, when they get to the end of the journey, when they get back to the vessel being empty all the way back to the other side, why would you be afraid of? See, because you've been carrying that treasure all the way and knew it. They knew their identity. That's the first fruit. They know their identity from the beginning. Jesus was not in ignorance when he walked this earth. He says, it's not yet my time. It's not yet time. It's all right. You've got to do what you've got to do, but it's not my time. When it's time, you'll know it. And in Ephesians, he said, God will do nothing without first revealing it to his holy apostles and prophets. First fruits. They'll be there. They'll know what's going on. And it's not to impress people or to draw multitudes. It's to accomplish what Father wants. And Jacob, their father, said to them, me you have bereaved. And see, here he's back to Jacob again. He's already flesh again. Me you have bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and you will take away Benjamin. All these things are against me. Wah, 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 wah. You're on your journey. You're almost home. And here you are doing nothing but crying. Something's wrong. You got to stop murmuring and complaining. You got to come to a place that you accept everything that God gives us. What did Job say? Shall we receive good from the hand of God and not receive evil also? Come on. This journey is for our benefit. They're not doing something to you. They're doing it for you. If you understand this, you'll see it with God's eyes and say, they did that for me. I mean, somebody come up and cheated you and say, thank you, you've done that for me. Well, see, that makes it sound crazy to the world, don't it? But see, I've been cheated out of a lot of things. And you know what? I had to understand that God did it. I had the nerve one time to tell God, God, why'd you let them uncircumcised Philistines take that money from me? $8,000. He said, because you was walking in pride. And I said, excuse me. That's the end of that. I never said it no more. Because he was right, and I knew he was right. I was walking in some pride about something, and I got greedy on something. It was my fault that I lost the $8,000. If I kept my mouth shut and hadn't got greedy, I'd have got the whole thing back. I only got about two-thirds of it. You know what? I learned a lesson. Keep my mouth shut and quit being greedy. Take whatever Father offers. Don't ask for more. And that's what the Melchizedek priesthood's all about, isn't it? They receive, the Levitical priesthood takes. Church world takes. God's men and women just receive. Whatever comes, that's what you get. That's what God wants you to have. And that's the end of it. And Reuben spoke to his father, saying, slay my two sons if I bring him not to you. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to you again. What's he asking for? Reuben, behold the son. What's he asking for? Let me have it. Let me be the one. Behold the son. Let me be the son that steps out and does it. Let me be the one that steps out. Guess what the response is? My son shall not go down with you because his brother is dead and he's left alone. If mischief or something bad, harm or hurt happens to you on the road in which you go, then shall you bring down my gray hairs with grief to the grave. Now, what would he get the answer? He asked to go. He volunteered to go. And what did Father say? I'm not looking for volunteers. I'm looking for a seed that was predestined before the foundation of the world. Hello? I'm looking for someone that I chose before the foundation of the world. Don't want no volunteers. Just sit in your seat. You'll be fine. You'll get everything you're supposed to get sitting in your seat. If you get up here and start messing with something you ain't supposed to be messing with, you're going to get in trouble. Just leave it alone. There's one more word I got to deal with. What is it? Sheol. Jacob did not say, you'll take me to hell, did he? He said, you'll take me to the grave with my gray hairs if my other son goes away. Sheol means grave. It does not mean hell. That's the thing we got to understand. God is going to take us to the grave. The grave is not a bad thing. This flesh is destined to go back to the grave. The point of the man wants to die. Okay? You see, I'm not even worried about that, because if you're judged now, if you die now, how can the second death have any hurt upon you? You're free. Any questions?